What an empowering weekend, right? So yesterday we were talking about the NWA Women's Division. Just the news broke yesterday. Dave Marquez has introduced the United Wrestling Network Women's Championship. The belt is finished. I guess they need to crown a champion. No talk of a tournament yet, but the title was presented by Dave Marquez on the social medias. The belt was made by Belts by Dan. Looks like a great looking championship. You know, I went and saw the Barbie movie, so I guess I'm feeling pretty fired up about femininity and women empowerment. So I'm going to continue the conversation from yesterday. We're going to keep talking about women's wrestling. Friday, I was at the Women of Wrestling TV tapings here in Los Angeles, California, at the, what's the name of that hotel? The Belasco. Not a hotel, it's a concert venue. Anyways, I'm going to talk about that, right? We're going to talk about women of wrestling. We're going to talk about how women of wrestling ties into the National Wrestling Alliance and the women's division. And then, you know, for giggles, I'm going to talk about a fantasy booking of putting the NWA women in a WOW ring and the WOW women in an NWA ring. So if you're into fantasy booking, stick around. If you're into women's wrestling, check this out. And Henry West, eat your heart out.
Do you believe that there are some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Vlog Podcast? Shame on you!
Shame on you! My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion.
And I'm Kizzy Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champion.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Vlog. What is it called?
Podcast, period!
Approved.
All right, if I can be serious for a moment, all apologies, Landstorm. Friday night, I made the very long drive to Los Angeles from my palatial estate here in the Inland Empire to see the Women of Wrestling. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. My desire to watch the Women of Wrestling really stems from two facets. Number one, Reina Del Rey. You might know her as Rey's friend of the Alliance, but Reina Del Rey works for the Women of Wrestling. She teams with Heidi Howitzer on the Indies, in WOW she teams as she wrestles as Wrecking Ball. So Reina Del Rey and Wrecking Ball, known as the Last Call. I'm particularly fond of Reina Del Rey, so I like to watch her whenever I can. Reina Del Rey's independent dates have, they've taken a back seat to the work that she does with WOW. So this is one of the rare times that I got to see Reina Del Rey live, and I was happy to do so. She competed in a tag team match again with the Wrecking Ball. Not to be confused with Wrecking Ball Ligursky. Interestingly enough, Heidi Howitzer teams with Max the Impaler on the Independence as well as in Japan. So it's kind of like a full circle type of persona here. Anyways, and the second reason is my daughter, who goes with me to a lot of wrestling shows, has never been able to see something like WOW before. And I think it's good for women to see empowerment when it comes to pro wrestling. So that was the big attraction. We took that drive, and I'm not going to say that it was the world's greatest wrestling show, but it was a fun show. And I'll give you some of my thoughts here. We'll talk about everything. So, like, first things first, do not bring a professional camera with you to one of these Women of Wrestling television taping events. They don't like the audience taking photos. They don't want you to take pictures. They don't want you to take videos. They don't want you to post to social media. This is the most bizarre thing that I've ever heard of. You know, most wrestling promotions would love any kind of engagement on social media, any kind of fan interaction. But this was different for me. And I've been to several different wrestling television tapings in the past. I mean, Of course, the Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and before that, when it used to be the NWA Pro Wrestling and NWA Hollywood, and even before that, when they were recording as New Japan USA, years and years ago, back in 2004. I mean, I've been to TV tapings with the obviously with the NWA, modern day NWA as well. And there's no real restrictions on what you can wear or taking photos. I mean, most of the places don't want you to take video, and that's understood. They don't want their content to be out there. But like, I've been to plenty of WWE program tapings. I've been to AEW pay-per-view, Double or Nothing. There was no restriction on what you could wear. There's no restriction on any of that stuff. But here it's a little bit different. And even though it didn't state it anywhere on the ticket or any of the information that was given to me, incidentally, they did not want you to have a logo on your T-shirt or on your hat. They requested that if you had a logo on your hat to flip it around, if you had a logo on your T-shirt to wear it inside out. Now, look, I didn't want to raise a fuss, specifically because I didn't want to have any complications for the people that I know that work at WOW. So I was compliant with my hat. I turned it around. So you won't see your boy J. Cal's Alliance logo hat. However, I kept the T-shirt on, and I didn't. No one confronted me about it. No one enforced it. But I kept the T-shirt on because, well, it's a Lucha Libre mask with the Alliance blog written above it. I'm not going to hurt any endorsement deals, and I wasn't there to spoil any of the action. So, but I just didn't really appreciate the I don't want to call it censorship, but just like the hoops you have to jump through. Now, the cool thing about the venue, or the Belasco, it's a beautiful venue. It's one of the oldest concert venues in Los Angeles. I think it's over a decade old. They really did. If you look inside, you look up at the ceiling, it's beautiful, the amount of work that they put into it. It's an interesting venue for a wrestling show, and they take all the charm of the Belasco really out of the equation because it just looks like a wrestling arena, which is cool. But it's wild. I'm sure that building is very expensive to rent, and you don't get any of the charm of it. They started the show roughly about 7 o'clock. They started letting people in about 6:30. They started letting people in about 6:30, something like that. Then they taped for 4 hours. So they did four shows in one day, which, I mean, that's not unheard of. I mean, the NWA kind of does a similar taping schedule, but that was 16 matches in one day over the course of 3 days, which means they probably filmed up to 48 matches and what essentially is like about 12 episodes. So maybe the entire season, maybe this fall season of WOW. They probably filmed. So I don't want to give spoilers. I won't break any news here, but I will give my thoughts on the wrestling and all that stuff. But getting back to the venue, like, thankfully, it had a fully loaded bar. There were snacks, cocktails, water, soda. They had merchandise. So, I mean, if you're planning to ever come to one of these events, these tapings, get there early. Their seating is limited. There were only a very limited number of seats. And for the $40 general admission price, you might be standing for 4 hours like your boy Jay was. But other than that, I mean, let's talk about WOW, right? Because WOW launched back in 2000. David McLean is kind of like the founder of WOW. He also was the one who introduced us to GLOW back in the 80s. In fact, I would say that WOW is like the lineal successor to GLOW in that the program is wrestling based, but unlike some of the more prominently known American wrestling companies, there's just such a greater emphasis on the gimmick, on the show of the wrestling, as opposed to the actual wrestling in the ring. Some of the stars. Oh, and then also I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Jeannie Buss, the co-owner of the Lakers, is the one who owns WOW, which is if you're not familiar with the NBA, the Lakers are a pretty good franchise, and her family has made a fortune owning the Lakers. So it's kind of cool that she has this side project. And again, it's I think it's still run by David McClain. The stars from the past, I mean, years and years ago, some of the talents that were involved, I think, have moved on from wrestling. Jungle Girl Erica Porter was one of the big names in the olden days, like in the early 2000s. But looking at the modern day, WOW, because again, WOW started in the early, the fall of 2000. And as a wrestling promotion, it lasted for about a year. It was on essentially like a hiatus until about 2013, came back and then kind of faltered off again, then came back in 2018 pretty strong. Their 2018-2019 season was really solid. And then, of course, the pandemic, which affected everybody. But then they got back to it in like 2022, and they've been running shows ever since. But some of the stars from the past that have quite a bit of name value in the world of professional wrestling. Tessa Blanchard is a former WOW champion. In fact, she joined WOW after leaving Impact. A lot of people thought of that was going to be like a rehabilitation assignment for Tessa Blanchard, that she would carry this company on her back, which, I mean, she had all the tools to do so. However, I feel like there might have been some questionable character development. I don't know exactly. I don't know why the relationship broke off, but it broke off rather quick. And I know that they had pinned a lot of potential futures with Tessa Blanchard, and that didn't happen. Other talent that you're very well aware of, AEW's Thunder Rosa, the former NWA Women's World Champion. She wrestled for WOW as Serpentine, and before that, Cobra Moon, which was her persona from the Lucha Underground gimmick. Thunder Rosa's tag team partner, Holly Dead, also works for the company on and off. She was there last season, so I would imagine she'll be a part of this season as well. Kiera Hogan formerly wrestled for them. Kiera Hogan had spent some time with Impact, with AEW, was around the NWA for quite a bit back in that 2022 effort, but we haven't seen her in a while. I think she's kind of exclusive to AEW Ring of Honor now. She wrestled as Fire. Impact Giselle Shaw wrestled for Women of Wrestling as Reina Reyes, not to be confused with Reina Del Rey. And then NXT's Nikita Lyons, I know that's a big favorite for some of you guys out there. She wrestled as Faith the Lioness back in 2018-2019. Some of the current talents, some of these ladies I've never seen before, but some of them I'm quite familiar with. One of their homegrown talents is The Beast. And the best way I could describe The Beast is basically like a gender swap cosplay of Monty Brown. She just exudes charisma, confidence. She's powerful. She has a lot of explosiveness in her offense. She definitely lives up to the hype in her name. But to be honest, I don't know that she's wrestled outside of WOW. And if she has, I don't know who for. But there's a lot of talent that on that roster that have worked in the indies, especially like the SoCal talent. I'm very familiar with the SoCal, Southern California independent scene. Delilah Doom is featured on the show. I don't know what her gimmick name was on the show, but I know it wasn't Delilah Doom. And she was basically doing the same gimmick as the 80s fitness instructor. She would tell the crowd, "You can't sweat with me," which I thought was weird and funny at the same time. Princess Ozzy was working with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood as CC Chanel before signing with WOW. I think she even made a few appearances for the Memphis Championship Wrestling. She also had one match against Camille on an episode of Primetime Live. Her match was a dark match, so it never aired on Primetime Live. It actually aired on NWA programming during the pandemic. And then Reina Del Rey, Ruby Reyes, she was a regular in the SoCal scene. Rekha Tahaka, you might have seen in Championship Wrestling from Hollywood last year, or Championship Wrestling from Atlanta the year before. She appears on the show as Lakea Makoa. And then, you know, some more of their talents. It's kind of hard to get where a lot of these people come from, but their current champions are Miami Sweet Heat, the tag team champions. They're twin sisters, former collegiate basketball players, and Penelope Pink. All three of them have worked some of the independents in Florida before joining Women of Wrestling. And then, you know, there's some ties to the NWA with WOW. It's kind of interesting because some of the talents from WOW actually appeared on the NWA pay-per-view Empowered, that all women's pay-per-view that took place the night before the 73rd anniversary pay-per-view some 2 years ago. We knew her as Hollywood J. She was part of the what was that trio called? The Shebirds? No. The Free Babes. You know, the Shebirds isn't a bad name for that group. It was Holly J. It was Bam Bam Gordy's daughter. I can't think of her name right now. And so she had appeared at Empowered, but she actually didn't get to wrestle. She was they used the Freebird rule, and she was the odd man out, or odd woman out, I guess. And then also, WOW has a competitor by the name of Tormenta, who's known on the independents of Mexico and AAA as Chick Tormenta. She also appeared at Empowered and is also a regular for the AAA, a wrestling promotion, and a lot of the Mexican independents. So there's some ties to the NWA, and that's only the start of it, right? Because there's a direct lineage of NWA World Women's Champions that spill directly into the women of wrestling, and I'm going back to like 1990, I think four, could be wrong on that, but Malia Hosaka is a former NWA Women's World Champion. Abilene Maverick, we knew her as Barbie Hayden in the NWA. Santana Garrett, I believe she's with the WWE currently, but she's a former WOW Women's Champion. Amber Gallows also used to appear for WOW. And, of course, Thunder Rosa. The first five names I mentioned, Malia, Barbie, Santana Garrett, and Amber Gallows, four names, appeared in WOW after they had won the Women's World Champion. Thunder Rosa is really the only one who went the opposite direction and went to the NWA after her time with WOW, winning the NWA Women's Championship before ultimately becoming the AEW Women's World Champion last year. Some of the other names that might be familiar to the NWA would be Chantilly Chella, who on the Indies wrestles as Ray Lynn. Ray Lynn teamed with Heather Monroe to take on Blonde Force Trauma and challenged M95 recently for those women tag team titles. So, I mean, that's kind of some background on WOW. And again, I think it's a very compelling show. I don't know that I'm going to add WOW to my regular roster of watching television programming. I do like the fact that my friend Reina Del Rey is there, and I do watch her matches on YouTube. I don't know if there's enough there to get me to watch each and every week, but some of the talent was very impressive. And I think when we come back, we're going to talk about some fantasy booked matches that I think would be fun. And we'll kind of, I'm going to fantasy book an NWA versus WOW pay-per-view. We'll leave it at that. So, hope you'll stick around for that, and I'll be back in just a second. Now, it's not wasted on me that I'm probably the only podcaster who is talking about a fantasy booking between WOW and the NWA. That's not wasted on me, but I also feel like there's some interesting things at play here. you know, the fact of the matter is that there's such a connection to the past of the NWA and women's of wrestling. I really think you can monetize and capitalize on this history, as well as there are not a lot of nationally syndicated women's wrestling programs here in the United States. And this would give the opportunity for the NWA to put a bigger spotlight on its women division. And honestly, you know, WOW has something that the NWA just doesn't have, and that's depth. Depth in the national presence. Something that the NWA desperately needs. So I feel like there's a way to make this a lot of fun. I think, obviously, you're not going to go too heavy into the dream matches. Anything you do with WOW is going to have to be presented as a 50-50 booking at best. Nobody should walk away being the slam dunk winner of a joint effort, because number one, no brand should look worse off than the other. And number two, you know, if it's not serendipitous for all parties, then why even do it? And if a fantasy booking were to materialize, I mean, you can always have more than one show. But I still feel like you just cannot have one side show up greater on the other side. So for that reason, this first encounter crossover, I'm not booking dream matches. I'm not booking a lot of title matches. I'm booking more introductory style of matches. And because the new season of WOW is still filming, like I said, they started Wednesday of last week. They filmed through Friday. They'll be doing more tapings at the end of August. I'm going to go with the champions who were the champions at the end of last season. That way there's no inconsistency. Obviously, this is just fantasy booking, so it doesn't really matter. But just in case when the new season starts and there's new champions, I did not want to do any spoilers or anything like that. One of the things that WOW excels at that I really feel the NWA struggles with, and that is even though the gimmicks are over the top, hokey, if you will, but they are clearly defined roles for both the faces and heels. There is no gray area. I'm not confused as to whether I should be cheering or booing for a competitor when they step out behind the curtain. It's almost instantaneous that you know, even if you've never watched the product before. There is a major heel stable in women of wrestling called the Fabulous Four. They are the tag team champions, Miami Sweet. This is a twin sister tag team. The two gals whose name escaped me right now, but I will look it up because that's what I do. Miami Sweet Heat is Lindsay and Lori Carlson. They were prior to their career in the prior to their career in women's wrestling, they did enroll in wrestling school by the Wild Samoans. But they were also in a women's basketball league. They played college basketball as well. So these two are identical twins, except for one of them is blonde and one of them is brunette. And like I said, they are part of that stable, the Fabulous Four, which will play a role into the show later. And with all due respect, so when you're booking the show, like, again, you want to show respect to Penelope Pink, the women's champion, the tag team champions, like I said, Miami's Sweet. But then you also need to be mindful of the NWA champions. Now, they shouldn't be made to look like, you know, soap rags or anything else by that comparison. And there is a significant age difference between some of the talent. So I tried to match it up as close as I could, without making it look awkward. Now, the first thing I would book would be a dark match, and I'm going to use Kylie Page in this role because I know Kylie Page is a very competent performer in the ring. She's an up and comer for sure, but I think she could have a good match with just about anybody. And I'm going to put her in the ring with one of the up and comers for WOW. That would be Jennifer Flores, also known as Gen Z. Yeah, Gen Z. Anyways, this would be the match of two very young up-and-comers for the respective leagues. I don't think this is one that I would necessarily televise because the match itself, it really doesn't matter who wins. I only give the victory to the NWA here because I would likely see this at on an NWA program as opposed to a WOW program. And I think it would be a good opportunity for Kylie Page to get a victory for the NWA. You know, even if it's not booked this way, a lot of fans will just look at it as the NWA versus WOW. And as following as such, you know, it's a good victory to start the show off, or the dark match off anyways. Then I'm going to bring in, for my first televised match, I'm going to bring in the Mother Truckers. Now, the Mother Truckers are a fun tag team. I don't know that they would work in the NWA on a regular basis, but the premise is this is a mother and daughter truckers tag team. Big Rig Betty, who I don't know if she's the shoot mother of Holly Swag, but they definitely have a great chemistry. You know, the whole gimmick is that they're truck drivers and that the their mother-daughter truck driving team. Anyways, so it's Betty and Holly, not Buddy Holly, but Betty and Holly. And Betty is the mom, a little bit older. Holly is the aforementioned Hollywood J from the Free Babes. We didn't get to see a lot of Hollywood J in the NWA. Of course, she was there for minor support at the Pretty Empowered Tag Team Tournament. But what we did get from her was just a show. In WOW, she is actually one of the hot acts. I do believe that she has a ton of potential. In some ways, she kind of reminds me of like a Kenzie Page. I know she's a little, might be a little bit older than Kenzie, but she's young, she's brisk, she has a lot of skill. She's over as a babyface, and that's why I would want her on this show, especially against a tag team like Pretty Empowered. Pretty Empowered, the combination of of Roxy and Ella Envy, I think sets it up like a very traditional heel style babyface tag team match, where you have Ella and Roxy, you know, working over Holly throughout the entirety of the match, making sure that they cut off the side of the ring, forcing Big Rig Betty to stand on the outside waiting for that hot tag. And when that hot tag hits, I really feel like the Mother Truckers could get over strong in the NWA. And, you know, especially if Ella and Roxy are doing their job beating on Holly. I think that you'd have Roxy eat the finish from the Mother Truckers and then have WOW get that strong victory over an NWA team for the night. And, it, you know, again, because WOW would be kind of like the outsider, putting them a very much a babyface tag team against some of the best heels you have in the company, I think it would make it very easy for the fans and the in attendance to root for the Mother Truckers. And that would be a hot opener to start the night. I think that would get things moving quite quickly. And again, if you're... I don't normally publish fantasy bookings or, you know, ideas like this. So I would appreciate your feedback. Let me know what you think of these. Next up, I would have Angelina Love, you know, the psycho princess taking on Princess Ozzy. Now, psycho girl, excuse me. Now, Princess Ozzy is a top contender for the Women of Wrestling Championship. So it's important that she has to look strong. You have to give her a match with someone who has some name value, which Angelina has both name value and somebody that could help put over Princess Ozzy. This match could have a lot of back and forth, but ultimately Princess Ozzy needs to win here. She needs the clean pinfall to help progress her storylines and WOW. And again, for Angelina Love, a loss here does not really affect her standing in the NWA. It's almost like a non sequitur here. So Prince Ozzy goes over, and now the side is back in the Women of Wrestling win column. The next match I would have would be Samantha Starr versus Reyna Del Rey. First and foremost, nobody's a bigger fan of Reyna Del Rey than me. I think she's excellent at putting people over. for the most part, her talents, you know, she is, I would say she's even underutilized in WoW. They've kind of put her in this tag team, with, Wrecking Ball, which is very much akin to, the Fixers in that they're looking for that, you know, that almost comedic style of wrestling at this point. For the most part, the talents in the NWA are much smaller than Reyna Del Rey. In fact, you know, I would say Samantha Starr is probably one of the bigger talents in the NWA, but she isn't bigger than Del Rey. And this match should resemble more of an ass whooping than an actual wrestling match. And I think that, you know, Samantha Starr is going to have to sneak one out. You know, she's going to have to steal a DDT out of nowhere to win this match. But then that kind of evens the odds here, where you get another NWA victory on this show. And of course, this is where, you know, you're trying to keep some sort of parity, because if this is a one-time thing, you know, you don't want to give up too much heat to something that doesn't happen a second time. If it does happen a second time, you could set up some more interesting matchups for the next show. And this kind of plants some seeds there. You know, Princess Ozzy, Samantha Starr getting victories, the Mother Trucker getting victories. This might set up matches down the road for some of the talent. Then my fourth match would be kind of a special attraction. And I'm going to bring in Max the Impaler to take on the Spring Break 24/7. Now, this match is all about just showcasing how badass Max is. And Spring Break are both very petite wrestlers, which will make Max look even more formidable in the ring. I mean, Max is already a big character off the back, but when you put them in the ring with a tag team of, you know, they're not, I wouldn't say they're diminished size, but they're certainly not over 6 foot, you know, it certainly gives Max that even greater dominant look. Spring Break 24/7 is Crystal Waters and Sandy Shore. Now, Waters is also Australian, but she was trained in the United States by Knox Pro. Knox Pro is the school responsible for producing AEW's Miro, was responsible for some of the early work for Sepha Fatu, who we all know is Solo in the WWE. And that's because this is Rikishi's school. So Shore has, conversely, Shore was trained in Ohio Valley, which seemingly a lot of the WoW superstars have been training at WoW. So this is one of those matches where Max makes a quick work of these two ladies looking dominant in every single possible way. And this could, down the road, if, again, there's another showcase between WoW and the NWA, this would be one of those roles where, okay, maybe Max issues a challenge to somebody on the WoW roster, perhaps maybe the Beast or, you know, maybe the women's world champion Penelope Pink. Which that takes us to the next match that I would have, and this would be the one and only title match I would have on the show. And it's going to be the aforementioned Beast taking on Kenzie Page. Now, this isn't exactly feeding the sacrificial lamb to the lion, but it is going to make for some interesting time for the NWA and for WoW, because the way I would set this up is you use this opportunity to create a transition from Kenzie Page to whomever the next women's world champion is going to be. Excuse me, the women's television champion is going to be. Because I feel like Kenzie is so hot right now that I feel like she's almost unbeatable. And I don't see her being the one to take the Burke off of Camille just yet. I don't want to see Kenzie be the one to take the belt off of Camille. So this kind of, this would be a stall tactic. And I think if you get the television title off of Kenzie, you could afford her more opportunity for maybe on the next show to challenge for the tag titles with Ella Envy, or maybe a rematch for the next show. And when it comes to the Beast, like I said earlier on the podcast, she is so similar to Monty Brown, the alpha male that we all knew from Impact, that I dig her a lot. And I think she would fit in to the NWA very much. I don't know if the NWA is ready to offer her a spot or a contract or anything else, but I think having her win the title creates a lot of controversy, would make people want to tune in, because this is the kind of show that doesn't, you wouldn't think a title would change hands. Guess swerving people to actually come and watch it. And then, you know, if it does pan out that the NWA or WOW do not want to do another joint show together, then it would be just as simple as having that agreement in place that either the Beast will come to the NWA and to drop the title out to somebody else, or you know, one of the NWA wrestlers could pick that up, you know, at a WOW taping, you know, a dark match or something. That takes me to my semi-main event for the night, and that's going to be Natalia Markova versus Genesis. Now, Natalia Markova is also one of these wrestlers within the NWA who's as hot as can be. I don't know how much more you could stay relevant and keep losing to Camille. And that's unfortunate for Markova, because that seems to be the place where she's at right now. So in order to make a good victory for Markova, we're going to put her in a match with somebody who could probably match her strikes. In fact, Genesis is a member of the group Exile. The group was kind of founded by, I forgot her name. Former NWA Women's World Champion, it's coming to me, Malia Hosaka. I hope I'm saying that right. Malia Hosaka. I think I'm saying that right. And in this kind of matchup, you're going to give a lot of back and forth between the two. There's no reason not to. We've learned that Markova is an excellent striker. She has some lethal kicks. And I feel like a match between her and Genesis, who is, her gimmick is kind of like a shoot fighter and a weapons expert. I think this would make for some a lot of fun wrestling right here. And I think that by defeating Genesis, Markova gets to slide back into that top tier caliber. If WOW is so inclined, maybe they could use Markova as a challenge for Penelope Pink on the next show. Or just cements her closer to winning her own championship gold in the NWA. That brings me to the main event. Now, like I said, there wasn't going to be a lot of title matches on the card, and that's for a good reason, because I want to put M95, the NWA Women Tag Team Champions, in the ring with Camille to take on the Fab Four, well, three of the four. The Fab Four, like I said earlier, are the reigning champions of WOW, managed by Lana Starr, who is a former champion in her own right. You have Penelope Pink and Miami Sweet Heat. So we spoke a little bit about those two earlier. The women of wrestling tend to be a tad bit older than the women in the NWA. So I don't want to embarrass anybody. This isn't you don't take this opportunity to make the other league look bad. This is all about making everyone look better. And I think when you have the champions squaring off, you know, without risking titles, it allows the match the flow a little bit better. And because there are four members of the Fab Four, including Lana Starr, that makes it really five. Vicky Lynn McCoy, the fourth member of the Fab Four, can come out to interfere on behalf of the other Fabs. This sets up a schmoz at the end of the match, so you don't have a clear-cut winner. And then you could have Camille come out and just lay everybody out. Maybe you could have the entire locker room empty out. It depends on what they want to do, you know, if this ever came to fruition. Again, it's fantasy booking, so who knows? But I feel like with the opportunity to grow both brands, you know, like, again, the NWA does not have a national audience. It's on YouTube, but that's not the same as having your own Pluto network and also being featured on Viacom programming, I believe CBS. Here locally, it's on our KCAL 9, which is like a CBS affiliate. But yeah, I think this would make for a great opportunity to grow that the women's division and you know, see something special, see something new out of the NWA. What are your thoughts? Leave me a comment. Let me know. Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.